All right, I think we got power. Do we have power? Are we good? I don't know. I'll talk loud. There we go. I think we got power now. All right, I want to welcome everybody to the 2019 Thanksgiving program. This marks the 398th Thanksgiving in United States history. 398. Kind of. So those of you guys that are historians know that what we kind of consider the first Thanksgiving in America was nothing more than really just a time-honored tradition brought over from England by the pilgrims, in which they would celebrate the year's harvest. And so so really, it was nothing more than something they've always were doing back home and just celebrating a good year. We don't know too much about that first Thanksgiving. There are two very brief little statements in history that account for that. We're gonna take a look at that tonight briefly here. Fall of 1621, Edward Winslow wrote these words: "Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent 4 men on fowling, or go bird hunting, that so we might, after a special manner, rejoice together, after we had gathered the fruits of our labor. The 4 in one day killed as much fowl as with little help beside served the company almost a week." So he's saying here is that they did really well. And that bird hunt, they did really well. "At each time, amongst other recreations, we exercised our arms," right? They had games. They busted out the firearms and shot stuff. Okay, my kind of party. "Many of the Indians," talking about the Wampanoag Indians, "many of the Indians coming amongst us and amongst the rest with their greatest king, Massasoit, with some 90 men, whom from 3 days we entertained and feasted. And they went out and killed 5 deer, which they brought to the plantation and bestowed on our governor and upon the captain and others. And although it be not always so plentiful as it was in this time with us, yet by the goodness of God, we are so far from want." Yet by the goodness of God, we are so far from want, "that we often wish you partakers of our plenty." The other account was by William Bradford. His account is very similar, but in his account he mentions wild turkey along with the fowl and the deer, but doesn't say anything about eating turkey on that first Thanksgiving. But interestingly enough, that tradition started years and years later, but was actually referenced back to him saying wild turkey, and so that in an effort to try to get a traditional Thanksgiving dinner, turkey kind of caught on and they set it on there. It's kind of interesting, fun fact. 242 years later, on October 3rd, 1863, Abraham Lincoln officially declared Thanksgiving as we know it as an official holiday, in hopes that it would bring our war-torn country together. Despite war, during the proclamation of Thanksgiving, Lincoln lays out many things to be thankful for, noting that most just taking those things for granted. Lincoln pens these words: "No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hands worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nonetheless remembered mercy. It seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, gratefully acknowledged as with one heart, one voice, by all the American people." Lincoln then invites Americans to set aside a day of thanksgiving and praise and says it like this: "A day of thanksgiving and praise to our Father who dwelleth in the heavens." Lincoln's thought was, we need to make this about God. This isn't about us. It isn't about family. It isn't about war. It isn't about what's going on. It's about our God. It's about giving thanks to Him. He finishes by encouraging all to pray. And he says, "Pray for the Almighty hand to heal the wounds of a nation and to restore it as soon as it may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union." A prayer that we could pray yet today. Peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Lord in heaven, we just give you thanks, Father, for this country that we live in, for those brave men and women who endured hardship, gave up everything they knew to come here to start anew. But for most, that they could worship you freely and unhindered. We are thankful for their sacrifice. We are thankful for the many blessings that we have, many that we just take for granted for. We just pray, oh Father God, for those that are speaking tonight, that you could just come unto them and give them peace as they speak, that it can be used to glorify you. And we just pray, oh Father God, and just give you thanks as we celebrate this time of thanksgiving for all things, but most of all, for your Son Jesus and the plan of salvation. In his name we do pray. Amen. Our first Thanksgiving message will be given by Caleb and Laura Schaefer.
So it's hard to follow Abe Lincoln's Thanksgiving proclamation. That's a little tough. And when Bill asked if we would be a part of this, normally it's reserved for newbies in Indy Church, and we're really not that new anymore. So I thought, what to do? You already hear me talk entirely too much. So I wrote a very heartfelt poem, of which the editor hacked. So you're not going to hear that either. But we do have some fantastic scripture that Makai is going to read, and then we have a followed by a poem. So,
it's on. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has grievance against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in the heart, in your hearts. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians 3:12-17.
This is a poem my mom wrote, so. Lord, thank you for your mercies that are new every morning, for the changes in the seasons that grace us with renewing. Lord, thank you for your kindness, so pure and gentle. Forgive us when we fail to see how this is so monumental. Lord, thank you for each blessing, the large and the small. May we stand in your presence continually in awe. May we bless you, Lord, this season with our heart and attitude, that our little lights would shine with grace and gratitude. Lord, most of all, we thank you for the one and only Son. May we rejoice this season in the victory you've won.
Our next message will be given by Gavin and Jenna Fritz.
So it's hard to follow a bunch of cute kids. I think a better way to say it is you have more experience speaking in front of the church. So. For those of you who don't know us super well, I'm Gavin, this is my wife Jenna. We have been here in Indy for about a year and a half now. And I guess we were just asked to share something that we were thankful for. And Jenna and I couldn't really pin it down to one specific thing. But there was definitely one theme, and that was really our our upbringing and our community that we've always been in. So as a bit of history, I was raised in Fort Wayne, going to the Leo Church. Jenna grew up in Bluffton, going to the Bluffton Church. And there we were just both surrounded by, obviously, starting out, our parents, who are both sets of parents are here tonight, which is great. But we were raised there in Christian homes and strong families, and really learning as young kids in that community. And then we both went to Purdue for college, and really, just grew deeper with Christ through the community there and all of the teaching. And towards the end of our time in college, we felt God drawing us together and preparing us for marriage. And so in 2018, we got married and we graduated, got married, and then moved down here. And yeah, so that was about a year and a half ago. So Jen, I'll fill in the details.
That's a lot of what I was going to say. But yeah, I think the theme that we've been thinking about a lot is how thankful we are for our family. Obviously, they're great supporters. But both Gavin and I got to experience Christian homes and seeing what a Christian family and lifestyle and what a Christian marriage should look like, which was really valuable, which I think we've both realized a lot, being in, I guess, a bigger city than either of us grew up in, and just at our jobs and interacting with people in the city, how grateful we are to see what a marriage should look like, built up in Christ. So that's been really helpful for us. And also, just being in the West Lafayette community, it felt so at home, and having the Pretty Young group to lean on was so valuable. And then coming here, we felt that same Christian bond. So that's been really valuable. And when we came here, we didn't know a lot of you yet. But as we've gotten to know you, it's just been reinforced how, like through small group, through relationships in Rosé, through potlucks and just meeting up inside and outside of church, it's been cool to get to know everyone more and see that you all are an extension of our family, even though not all of our families here are there in other places, but you guys really do feel like a family to us. So thank you, and we're still getting to know everyone better, but we're grateful for the relationships we've had so far, and we really do feel like you guys are our brothers and sisters in Christ. So thank you.
All right, next up is our women's choir group, so they'll be heading up now.
shall wear the starry crown. Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down. Let's go down. Come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down. Down to the river to pray. Oh, sinners, let's go down. Let's go down. Come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down. Down to the river to pray.
Right, up next is the children's choir.
I want to introduce the group, if you'll allow me to do that. A few weeks ago, some of the kids came to some adults here at church and talked about wanting to do a children's choir. So subsequent conversations involved Marcel and Susie and I, and we decided to put together what we called a pilot group. Get the kids together to listen to each other and learn to sing and teach them some harmony. So this has been a blessing for us. What's been remarkable is to just see their enthusiasm and their excitement about it. We'll see where it goes from here, I guess. So I'm sure it'll be a blessing to you, but most of all, we're just want to praise the Lord, give him the glory. So to God be the glory. We're going to sing Create in Me a Clean Heart. they're going to sing it.
All right, our final Thanksgiving message tonight is by Caleb and Juliana Wietrich.
So I'm Caleb, and this is my wife, Juliana.
Hi, guys.
I grew up in Francisville, and Juliana grew up in West Lafayette.
I'm an outsider, but here I am today. As new Christians, we have a lot to be thankful for. Mercy, forgiveness, the church, the Bible. But as Caleb and I really thought about what we wanted to say this evening, we decided on being thankful for the gift of salvation that brings eternal life. We used to be thankful for a lot of other stuff, like money and our jobs and all sorts of stuff that just burns, but...
Yeah. You know, before accepting Jesus, you wake up every day and your hope's kind of, hey, I hope today's better than yesterday, or I hope I make more money today, I hope I have good relationships. But when you have the hope of eternal life, that's like being dead and becoming alive again. It's like being blind and seeing. It's just, and when you've been, walking through this world for a while and then you accept that, it's like, mind-blowing. So that's what we're thankful for. Yeah, just eternal life through Jesus Christ. We're going to read a verse that really sums up our feelings here, and it's here we go. It's Titus 3, chapter 3, verse 4. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So that's our heart.
Thank you. As we close a beautiful night together as a church family, I want to share a couple verses with you that you know well. I want to ask Brother Bert Ashelman to come up and share with us what's happening with the family. And then I'm going to ask Brother Scott Schaefer to close in prayer. But I want to start with two verses that you know real well. And I want to tell you the story because at this year end, I think back of my dad this year when we were sitting in the oncologist's office together. And he looked at Dad and he said, "It's pancreatic cancer. I don't know how long you have to live, but it's not long. Get your affairs in order." He left the room and he led us and all the kids together. And you're sitting there, and what do you say? We didn't know what to say, so he said, "Dad, why don't you pray?" None of us felt capable or able or knew what to say. And Dad, without hesitation, bowed his head, and his first words to us as a family were, "Father, we accept your plan." And that prayer instilled and reminded and confirmed in us what we'd believed all along. But as you live life, you learn that this faith that we have and this word that we trust in is real, it's deep, and it's lasting. So I share with you some verses that it's in Philippians 4, it's 6 and 7, but it says, "Don't worry" is the first part. It says, "Be careful for nothing." Don't worry. It's something we say and we read, but life helps us learn what that means. Now, the only way we can do that is, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." And then what that means is, so now I think about just 2 months later, sitting around Dad's chair, watching him take his last breath. He was so peaceful. All through that experience, going up to the last days, there was no fear, there was no worry, there was just peace. And it was impactful. And it's something to live and die by. And that last verse says, that peace of God. It says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, it will keep your hearts." It will keep your hearts through Christ Jesus. And that's very real. And I love to think about it this Thanksgiving. I'm going to miss him, but I'm not going to miss you. We're going to live this word and die in it. Because he is faithful. So let's be thankful. Let's trust him. And when we do that, then we don't have to worry about anything because the peace of God will keep us. It will keep us. And Bert, I think you could speak to that. Where'd you go? Come here. Come up here. Huh? Yeah. You want to lean on me? No, just do it.
I'll knock you over.
No. He's afraid of showing motion. Well, can you see the soft side of Bert?
I'm going to probably fail in that regard tonight. We very much appreciate the prayers we've had from the church, both for Karen and for Sammy. For Karen, we're still waiting on pathology to come back to know what we're going to be dealing with. But no matter what it is, what Brother Ken just talked about is how I've been feeling through this whole process in both my grandson and with my wife. Mayo Clinic has had her thyroid tissue for 3 weeks, I think. And when we get the results back, we'll share it. But I can't tell you how powerful it is and how humbling to know that the church is praying for you. On November 12th, which was a Tuesday, Lauren took a picture of Sammy with his bright-colored Christmas hair. And that night he got sick. And he was sick for about a week when the doctor finally said, "You need to take him into University of Michigan's Children's Hospital." And it's called MOTS, M-O-T-T-S, Children's Hospital. And me being real smart-mouthed like I am, I bet they have a lot of good applesauce. And it has been a journey with Sammy. Sammy has been seen by 40 different doctors, 10 different departments, numerous ultrasounds, MRIs, blood draws, and like I said, 10 out of the 12 departments in that hospital have had their hands on Sammy. It's been a tough go for a little 5-year-old boy to not be able to understand. And he asked his mommy, am I going to die? So that's where he's at. And his brothers miss him terribly, and he wants to be home. I would just ask that you continue to pray. After 8 days and all the analysis and all the doctors, they have determined that they can't determine. 3 times it's been appendix. It's been meningitis. It's been vascular issue, a condition called HSP. It's been respiratory. It's been oncology. And they still cannot get it figured out. So today they sent him home. Poor Sammy had his shoes on about 5 hours before they were ever going to release him. And I got up and walked out because Jason just called me. And, of course, when they got home, there were no power. Power's out. But it just came back on. They're going to see what the next few days bring. They put him on some kind of an antibiotic. And he's going to need a lot of prayers. I was talking to my daughter, Erica, and she's been in a lot of close contact. And she asked Lauren, she said, when Sammy left, did they line the hallways? Did they say, hey, it's glad you could go? And the nurse, Erica said, no, the nurse told Lauren, you'll be back. So continue to pray. I know, at least we think we know, they've ruled out cancer. I don't know about the meningitis. We don't know about the vascular disease. So there's just a lot of things going on, but I think it's to know that there's prayer, and having experienced that 30 years or 40 years ago when I had cancer, there's nothing so powerful. And God hears those prayers. So please continue to pray for my family. It's humbling to ask for that. But would ask you to continue to pray.
Thank you, Bert. Pretty fitting for a Thanksgiving night. So, with that, I almost feel like asking if somebody else has got something you want to share. But lift your prayers up to Him. So, Brother Scott. Come on, Grandpa. We're thankful for all the grandpas here tonight. Have them arise and stand up and pray.
Yeah, we got a lot to be thankful for. And we've been encouraged tonight in a lot of ways. And we've also learned some things. Thanks for sharing. We did not know that. Our family, I don't think, knew that. We're thankful, Gigi and I, our whole family is here. Kids, grandkids, everybody's all right here. So we're thankful for that. But we were encouraged tonight by one of the songs that was down by the river to pray. Let's pray. Let's stand up and pray. Father in heaven, it's been good to be here. We're thankful that we were here tonight. It's a blessing to see a church family come together to sing, to share, to worship, and to acknowledge that Thou art their God. And so we are encouraged even by that as we see this group here join together and surround each other and lift each other up and welcome each other and serve and help each other. And that truly is
a model for all of us, and we know that that model follows our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We heard those tonight that were most thankful for salvation. And we are. What an amazing blessing that we have to worship a God that would look down and see man in a sinful state and not turn away, but draw us in. And then send His Son to die in our place. We are truly a blessed people. And so, Father, we pray, continue to pray, certainly for the Ashelman family. Just lift them up and stand by their side. Those who have gone through difficulties, some we may not even know here. Brother Ken losing his father recently. Father, just lift them up. And what we heard tonight, too, was about peace. And so we pray for that peace, that peace that passes all understanding could be experienced by each one that is here tonight. Bless these young folks that sang to us. Their hearts are pure, and their motives are honest, and they just want to worship, and you can sense that. So bless us tonight, Father, as we part. Bless us tomorrow as we celebrate even Thanksgiving. We're thankful for the land that we live in that allows us this freedom to do this and to express our thanks not only to God, but even to each other for all that we've experienced and all that Thou has done for us. So bless us now as we part. We thank Thee for all these things, and we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
While Brother Scott's was praying, it occurred to me that I should encourage you to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know. I mean, I know some of you are going to be hurting a little bit through Thanksgiving, and I know that God's grace will see you through, but I would say to you, if you feel separated from God by sin tonight, that you would give your heart to Him and don't delay. There's no better time than now, so let's live for Him together. That would be a good thing. The other thing I would ask is, how many of you are going to the prison, the women's prison, Sunday morning? I'm going. Who's going? So those of... Ron, you're going? Really? So those of you that are going to be here worshiping, fill in the benches and do so and praise God. And the rest of us, some of us will be down at the prison. So we look forward to that. Is there anything else that should be announced tonight yet? So thanks for being with us. And God bless you, and have a blessed day tomorrow.